2FM. Now, last week we kicked off a new feature on the programme where I take a look at a classic Irish track and speak with somebody involved and find out the story behind the making of it. And this week we're going to continue with this one, 20 seconds of... Well, last week it was Linger from the Cranberries. That's Limerick up to Galway now, of course. The Saw Doctors there with the iconic, I can call it that, N17. It's a song that fits so perfectly of the time of which it was written, but surprisingly a song that didn't chart upon its original release. Well, Leo Moran of the Saw Doctors is on the line to tell me more. Leo, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Greetings from Tuam, Dave. I'm very good, thank you very
much. Tuam, indeed. It must be. Just as a matter of interest, talking Pogues there for a while. Did you ever cross paths with the Pogues?
We played a few gigs and festivals with them over the years, all right, that's for sure, yeah. A good few times, actually.
Right, yeah, indeed. Okay, I'll tell you what, we're talking here now about this song, which, I don't know, how old is it now? Is it 30?
It's
34 years,
I'd say. 34?
Oh, God, okay, right, okay. So we're talking late 80s here, right, okay, perfect. So tell me about, like, can you remember what Ireland was like in the late 1980s writing the song?
Well, I was in college at the time and a lot of my friends had left and a lot of them were in England and more of them were actually in America, a lot of them in Philadelphia and Boston. So it was, I remember writing letters and getting ones back from my friends abroad. So that's really where the idea of the song came from, I'd imagine.
I mean, the thing is that, like, you know, Galway was seriously happening around this time. And the one thing that was missing was money. But God, there was an awful lot of people writing and doing and playing and Mockins had just started, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, the song was probably written a couple of years previous to my participation in all that crack in Galway. But yes, once we got started and we moved into Galway, then the band was involved in all that kind of crack that was going on. And it was a huge amount of creativity in the city at the time.
Yeah, I remember doing the beats in the streets and all that kind of thing. And it was Too Much for the White Man and all the rest of it. Do you remember all that?
Oh, yes, sir. I was in Too Much for the White Man. It was a great time. And I originally met Mike Scott through Too Much for the White Man, which eventually led to Mike Scott bringing the Saw Doctors on tour and producing N17.
Yeah, he produced N17, as in Waterboys, Mike Scott. And, of course, they were over there making the album, two albums, really. I mean, but the Fisherman's Blues was the main one. And there was music in the air, let's put it that way. So do you remember first playing it together in front of a crowd?
I do. I remember writing the song and we were a little bit tentative about it because it was so local. Our friend, Porrick Stevens, who had been Davey's manager in a previous band, Blaze X, had already known that writing songs about your own locality was a good thing to do. And myself and Davey were just learning that from Porrick, really. And N17 would have been one of the first ones where we really delved into being local. And I remember the first time we played it, it was at a session in a late bar in the Hermitage Hotel one Sunday night. And we were actually a little bit embarrassed about unveiling a song about the Galway Road, which hadn't really been done before. And it was just surprising. Davey started singing it and people came closer and started listening. And it was one of those things you think, oh, God, this works. And then, of course, when you see it working, you're not embarrassed at all.
And also, like, you know, you had a bunch of sort of 500 vinyl pressed in that. It only sold about 150 and that was the end of it for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of notice, not much, and it disappeared as regards being on the radio or anything. But we always knew it worked at gigs, so we didn't think it was a failure as such. It just didn't work as a record.
Did Larry Gogan help?
Larry didn't really come on board until I Used to Love Her, which was the second single.
Which was the next one. That was like 100 years at number one.
it was a long time.
But I mean, we're talking 18 top 30 hits and we're talking three number ones. So that was but like this was the start of it all then in 17. So it wasn't Larry with that. It was Larry just with them. I Used to Love Her, was it?
Yeah, it would have been hard for Larry to have spotted N17 because it really didn't hit any radars at the time.
Right, so there was nothing going on necessarily. But I mean, like, you know, the lyrics that kind of draw from everyday Irish life, etc. It meant an awful lot to you because it was personal, right?
Yeah, but I heard Dave Grohl's book being advertised there in the break.
You mean you didn't hear the interview with him yesterday? Oh, my God.
No.
But I heard it loud, Leo.
I saw him quoted lately as saying, you can sing the same song to 1,000 people in a room and every person hears 1,000 different songs, you know. So I think that's something that works with the N17. Any song, I suppose, that connects with people, they hear themselves in it. It's not about me or the singer.
Yeah, I mean, like, you were at the Fela Festival in Thurles in County Tipp, and it really possibly took off then. But you were playing at that. Were you also working on the gates, giving people wristbands?
Yeah, myself and Pierce were part of the Galway crew at the time. So we were down there on the Friday evening and doing the wristbands with Eamon McCann. And then we kind of, our next job then was Sunday morning, playing with the band, first band on, more or less. No, I think the Mere Mortals were the first band on Sunday morning.
The Mere Mortals, yeah. I think I remember things like Little Fish and Real Men. Weren't they bands at the time in Galway? Obviously Toasted Heretic and
yes.
Was stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Mere Mortals were from down the Midlands somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
They were great crack. But that was our experience, yeah, doing the wristbands. I remember I had a sore thumb from pressing the clips closed Friday evening.
And also, Waterboys-wise, I mean, as you say, produced by Mike Scott. And then did Anto Thistletwaite play on the song, or did he make up a riff at the end?
Yes, Davey made up a riff and Anto came in and played it.
Oh, that was it, right.
One very late night in Windmill 2 there off Stephen's Green. Anto arrived in. And we were late, you know, obviously the schedule went on and we weren't ready for him. And Anto had to go in next door and have a couple of pints until he was ready. So he was very ready by the time he came in and did a brilliant job.
Yeah, and you got coffee then, but you got coffee sent by a taxi from the local filling station. That was like, you weren't used to that, were you?
We never had seen that before. Mike knew how rock and roll worked, but we didn't. And it was about 3 or 4 in the morning and somebody said, we'd love a cup of coffee. And Mike said, we'll just order it and get a taxi to pick it up. I was like, wow, amazing.
Fantastic. And just tell me, the N17, I was on it last week or 2 weeks ago. I was down in Galway bringing my mother-in-law out of hospital to take her up to Westport to her daughter's wedding. In other words, my sister-in-law. Long story. Anyway, so was I on the N17 then if I did that?
Charlestown. Where did you go from?
Well, I went from Galway, like, you know, the Kilmore round. There was Charlestown, and there was Claire Morris involved somewhere, I think, as well, was it? I can't remember.
Yeah. Once you got as far as Tuam, you were again on the N17 towards Claire Morris.
Right, so it kind of turns at Tuam, is it? And that's where you have been, and that's where you are now, is it? This Sunday.
Well, they ended it at, that's where I am, yeah. But they ended the N17 at Tuam when they put in the M17.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a motorway now, exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. But most of the road that I was on wasn't a motorway, so I probably missed the turn. Anyway, do you ever tire of playing it? Or have you ever thought that we mightn't include it in a set, like you say? Like, I mean, I was talking last week to Noel from the Cranberries, and he said one gig they didn't play Linger, and they'll never forget it. They nearly didn't get out alive, so they've always played it since. Do you always play it?
We always played it and we always enjoyed it. And like Dave Grohl said, it always meant something different to the people in the audience. And you can sense that when you're playing it. And we always had little adjustments to make, little guitar lines or little slight different arrangements to amuse ourselves as well, keep ourselves happy about playing it. So it never, ever got left out, no.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm going to drop another name here, but I remember being at Self Aid in Dublin and at the RDS, and Bob Geldof wanted to, he got up at the Rats, which was their last ever gig for about 50 years, and he got up and he wanted to sing a Thin Lizzy song, because Phil Lynott had died 6 months before that. So he said Cowboy Song is the one, but he didn't know the lyrics. So we had to rush off and get a thing called a Walkman, stick it on his head, and he was learning the lyrics. The minute he got up on stage, it made no difference because the crowd sang every word. So here comes my question, obviously. Do you even have to sing it anymore?
Well, to tell you the truth, when Saw Doctor's gigs would be ones where there'd be a really big audience there that were very, very interested in the band, N17 was almost like just throwing the balloon up in the air and watching it float around the place. Yeah, there was definitely that sense of it. And I would imagine if you listen back to some of the recordings of those, if they were recorded, you'd see that the band were being a bit lazy because they really didn't have to concentrate on the playing of the song. We just concentrated on the enjoyment of the experience.
Yeah, I remember seeing you once doing it. You were playing I Used to Love Her, and you stopped almost at The Glory of Her Ass, and the crowd just sang it through the roof. Well, it was outdoors, actually. But it was amazing. Like, you know, they're waiting for the line almost, you know. Okay, so is there a difference in the crowd then when you play it abroad compared to when you play it at home?
There isn't really. Over the years, I've never found that much of a difference of crowds anywhere. You know, they're pretty much the same. But there was a real sense of depth, I remember, when we brought the N17 to America, the first few times we were over there in 1991, and you could see the lyrics hanging in the air, and they meant something extra to the people listening and singing them than they might have it back in Tuam or Galway or somewhere.
Well, that's the bit I was going to say. I was trying to say at the very beginning. It really does resonate with the diaspora and all the rest of it, just in terms of, you know, you have it in a song, let's say, and they can really see the pictures. They can see the walls. They can see the roads.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing as well. The N17 is by far not the most picturesque landmark in Ireland, but we were still celebrating it for the crack anyways, I suppose. That was part of the fun of it.
But, I mean, it's who you are. And like, you went from Tuam to Galway. You had a residency at the Keys, didn't you?
We did, for 6 weeks in the middle of winter. That was awful crack, yeah. And that's where Mike Scott wandered in from Spiddle and saw the Saw Doctors,
yeah,
playing.
Yeah, he wanders in from Spiddle, sees the Saw Doctors, says, like, you can go on tour, and you suddenly realise you need to get a kind of a certain musician that you didn't have. So there was DC's Fruit and Veg on the Sea Road, and who was working there? like within 5 days, he was touring with you, Pierce. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, Pierce, we did one gig back out in the Beach Hotel, and Pierce learned the songs, but he was very, very enthusiastic, and he was actually an ideal personality for the Saw Doctors. So from then on, he just took off on tour with us, and he got caught in a whirlwind of music rather than being studying at his second science year in UCG, but that's another story.
And did he throw the towel in at DC's Fruit and Veg on the Sea Road, did he?
Well, he did, yeah. He brought his books on the tour to England, but they didn't get used much.
Oh, right. And just like with the dads, and all the dads on the cover of the albums and all this, if this is rock and roll, you know, I want my old job back, etc., all that stuff. Did it go as far, was it your dad who might even introduce you on stage? He toured with you in England.
He did, yeah. He loved it. It was a great experience for the fathers. The photo shoot was a bit of work, all right, but
yeah,
just the fact that they were involved in it all. And then they came to Fela with us, and they did the gig down in Tuam at the West Awake, and they came to Slane with us, I remember. And we just had great fun with them, and it was a whole new world for them and for us having them around as well. And my dad ended up being the MC, if you know. He came on tour with us in England. It was great fun.
When you say the whole new world, I mean a whole new version of the song. Have you found a whole new 2021 because of Tula McKay?
Unbelievable. What a privilege that was to hear what she did herself, and Gavin Murphy's arrangement was so excellent, and she really put her heart and soul into it, and she renewed it and gave it a whole new life, and I suppose she gave us a whole little new life as well.
Well, here, and I'll give you 30 seconds of it. Hold on. Okay, now, you know, we'll say, you know, we know she's Tullamore, but actually she's Nigeria, right? But you never thought of that when you wrote this song all that years ago, did you?
Well, it's impossible to have come up with that one, but geez, what a privilege it was. And we actually, they invited Davey and I up to do the Heart of Saturday Night show with Tolu, and it was brilliant to be involved. I was saying, we were a bit like the lads that get walked out at half time in the All Ireland final, the 25 years ago, and waved to the crowd, kind of thing. But it was lovely to be around all the young people and all the new energy on the music scene in Ireland, which we, of course, we weren't fully in touch with up to that night, anyways.
Okay, well, that's Tula McKay, the RT Concert Orchestra, etc., on that special night, which was New Year's Eve, or certainly nearly a year ago now at this stage of the game. So, what is it now with Saw Doctors? I mean, like, you know, you've had a bunch of albums out, like quite a lot, really. So, where are you now with the music?
We're just, we've no plans, we're not doing anything. Davey calls into me here every now and again, and he whistles a few tunes, and I learn them on the guitar, and we have as much crack as we always used to have, just making up things.
But it would be about live, wouldn't it, if 2022 like is not going to be like the last 20 months, and you have, yeah, like even the albums, a lot of people mightn't have heard a lot of stuff, and Villains of the Cure or anything like that, and like that sort of stuff. You have plenty out there to do, like a set that could be changed every night, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and we always had a good old show, I have to say that much, and we always enjoyed it. But I don't know. We, as I said, we've no specific plans about doing anything, but you never know. We'll see if we come up with a few new ones and freshed it all up and made sure. You know, that's one of the things people don't realize. You just can't throw a band back together and go up on a stage. There's a lot of energy and work and time goes into making sure that the show works and is as good as it can be. So you really can't do it unless you do it that way.
And what is your relationship then to the song now? What does it do for you? What does it mean to you? Not just with Tullamacallay Mackay this year.
I think partly I'd be very proud of it, but there's another part of me that feels that it's, you know, it's public property. It belongs as much to the people who sing it and love it and listen to it as it does to ourselves.
And finally, Leo, like, do you worry or do you, like, you know, the Warwick, which had Coldplay and New Order and Snow Patrol and all the rest, that's gone. Is there an airport? Any did that go 10 years ago?
Yeah, the airport is gone as well. They actually had a gig out there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And the Waterboys played it and stunning, yeah.
And the Great Southern has changed and all as well. But listen, Leo, look, thank you so much for talking to us on the programme today about the N17. I'm going to give it a blast now. Leo Moran it is. Good man, Leo. Take it easy.
Thanks, Dave.
Good
thank
to
you.
Talk to you. All right, good luck.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.